This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. It's a beautiful Friday morning. It's going to be a gorgeous day today, so get out and enjoy it. And enjoy our community. I mean, there's so many great things going on here. And tomorrow, we have a great sale going on. It's an auction. And Caldwell banker, Barnes auctioneers Ralph McKee and J.D. Kite invite you to this Saturday's auction in Christiana, and it's for Ben and Ruth Hilliard. And they're downsizing, and this is a great opportunity to purchase a place that is absolutely gorgeous. There's two homes, a 36 by 64 metal shop, over 20 acres, farm equipment, and shop tools will be sold as the Hilliards downsize. This is an auction you don't want to miss. The auction begins at 10 a.m., farm equipment sales at 11:30, and the land sales at noon. That's this Saturday. It's at 6108 Sledge Road in Christiana. And for more information, visit caldwellbankerauctions.com or call 893-1130. That's caldwellbankerauctions.com or call 893-1130. I have Miss Lee Ann Newton on today, and she's been on before, and she does such a wonderful thing for our military people, and they're the ones that we should reach out to. I mean, they've been over in harm's way. They've been protecting us on all shores. They have to go through so many things that we don't imagine. I mean, we can't even in the most vivid imaginations, we can't pull up the things that they go through. But while they're over there in the battlefield, they have each other to depend on. That's pretty much it. And they know they have the support of the people here. But when you're on the battlefield, you don't think about that. But when they come back, they bring all those problems back with them a lot of times. And it's not always easy to be able to rehabilitate back into the home life over here when they come back to the States. And a lot of times they're forgotten, and unfortunately they don't forget it themselves, where they were, what they had to do. Trauma sets in. Are we reaching out enough, Leanne, to those people that have meant so much to us?
I think that the real challenge with this particular issue, the traumatic brain injury and the post-traumatic stress disorder, is that they're silent sufferers. Mm-hmm. You know, they, and this is, you know, one of the reasons I want to add them to Operation Christmas Care this year, which mm-hmm. is, you know, as you know, cards and items that we send down to the wounded mm-hmm. In the hospital every year. But unfortunately, our suicide rate is at a 30-year high. And
that's unbelievable.
It's really a crisis mm-hmm. at this point. The government is, you know, they're doing all that they can do. On September 27th, they had a nationwide military stand down for mandatory suicide prevention training. And this did bring a lot of attention to the issue. At the same time, unfortunately, a couple of weeks ago, my nephew, Josh, who has served several tours, mm-hmm. called me and in quite a state of despair and telling me that he had just lost his sixth brother in arms to suicide the Friday prior to this Monday phone call. And he wanted to know what we could do, what I could do. And I've thought a lot about that mm-hmm. since that point in time. Personally, you know, we served 26 years in the military. I say we because we were a military family. And we lost, one in that period of time. but it was a big shock. And to think of Josh losing six very close friends in the period of 4 years is just almost unfathomable to me. And I want to, you know, just like everyone else, we want to know why. You know, what are we missing? There are so many, besides the government, nonprofits that are reaching out. Mm-hmm. And I think we're just beginning to maybe melt the top of that iceberg. But it's a cultural thing, you know, that these enlisted men, enlisted make up 95% of these suicides. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that the prevalence of old school military is still very strong. You know, you don't change a culture that's been in place for 200 years overnight.
And been successful for, in many cases, mm-hmm. for 200 years.
Right. And I was talking to a Vietnam vet earlier this week, and he said, I wonder if we're really at a 30-year high. Mm-hmm. And I asked him to, explain a little bit. And he said, well, so many of us became homeless.
Right.
And he said, who kept track of those folks? Mm-hmm. How did they know when they found John Doe on the street that he was a Vietnam vet?
Right.
And so that's one of the things I'm researching. I don't know, you know, how we do that or how they get their statistics. Obviously, if there's an ID and they put that in the system with a social, they'll know whether or not they were a veteran. But in the U.S., the veterans make up 10% of the population, but they're 20% of the suicides.
That's amazing. Now, when they come back, you probably don't have the stat, but one thing I was thinking about when you were talking about it, when they came back, I wonder how many come back to wives and family, and how prepared would the family be to accept them when the change is so apparent.
I call this adjusting to the new normal. Mm-hmm. Anytime your soldier deploys, even if they're not going to a hot zone, mm-hmm. they are in a military mindset 24/7.
Right.
They are on call 24/7. There are no holidays. There are no weekends. And they go on very little sleep, and they do an extensive amount of training if they're not in the hot zone. They're doing something in preparation for that.
They go from this life over here, and they automatically become warriors when they're there.
Exactly. And they're warriors around the clock. And mm-hmm. so just like you have someone, for those folks out there who are not familiar, haven't lived, you know, with the military at all, best example I could probably give you is if you have a spouse who is in an extremely high-stress job, or a policeman, or a fireman, mm-hmm. When they have just come off of that highest stress level and they've come home, that is just an inkling of what a family gets when a soldier comes home from deployment. You know, you have a couple days of bliss, mm-hmm. and then you have to get back to some type of normal. And I'll give you, here's another, my daughter is preparing for a 9-month deployment, her husband to be deployed in February, but this time last year, Will was already deployed. Mm-hmm. So he has been home very little time. He came home, they then did a permanent change of station. He went on training for the entire lead up to that change of station. Mm-hmm. She did all the packing. She had the movers come in. He came home the day they moved. They then drove from Louisiana to Colorado, mm-hmm. had 10 days to house hunt, get a house, get settled, and then he leaves again for another 3 weeks of training. And so from January of last year to now, they have been together, because of trainings, a total of 9 weeks. And now he's at training again for 5 weeks in the desert here in preparation for the deployment in February. He'll have December off. And then in January, the month leading up to the deployment, he will then go again for 2 more weeks of training. So there's really no time for normal. you never have enough time where you don't feel like you're preparing to be apart again. Mm. And I think this may be the new thing that we weren't seeing previously. Previously, we would have a war, you would get deployed, you would go, God willing, you would come back.
Mm. And then wars have lasted a long, long time. And you're right, they go into the battle zone, and then it's over with, and then they come home, and then the period of adjustment mm-hmm. is a lot more. They can get more right. into a normal state of life. But now it's just constant for them.
It's constant. And I think that is, I'm not a scientist, haven't done the research, but I think that has got to play a part in this increased suicide rate. And, you don't have, wives now also, it's harder, I think, for the families now, and that puts stress on the soldier because a lot of women have gone to college. They had in their mind that they would also have a career. Mm-hmm. But for the first time, my 28-year-old daughter, who is very career-oriented, has a career, travels a lot herself, she said she's just now realizing somebody's going to have to give. Now, in a military marriage, it's not the military member that can give. Mm-hmm. He or she does not have an option to take off Saturday so mm-hmm. that so your wife or your husband can go do what they need to do. It's not a democracy in the military, as we say. So somebody has to give.
In some ways, though, over the years, historically, the women have stayed home. They've kept the home front burning here for the GI when he comes home mm-hmm. and all the family. But the wife has to have some outlet to be able to put up with all the stress and the strain and the thinking mm-hmm. of what's going on. So they have to divert their mind. In some respects, maybe a career is not a bad option if you can
move with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it does keep your mind occupied to the point where you're not going through the same type of trauma that your husband or and now wife would be overseas.
Right. And that, if you don't have that outlet, that stress that you feel, who are you going to take that out on? Mm-hmm. You're going to take it out on your whoever's putting you through this, whoever,
right.
you know?
Right.
And then they have to deal with that on top of their mission. Mm-hmm. And as we've always said, a distracted soldier is a dead soldier.
Yeah.
They cannot be distracted from what they're doing when they're in a war zone. So I think the career thing is wonderful. I'm one of those last matriarchs, I guess. I did stay home. I would get part-time jobs, to help pay the bills or the little extras for the kids.
You're like the cowboy sitting on the side of the road watching the semis go by, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Well, good for you. Yeah. I honor you for that.
Thank you.
These guys and ladies, they need support.
They do.
Really do. You can't do things like that on a continual basis without having some type of outlet or somebody reaching out to them. You just can't do it.
No, you can't do that. And there are, one of the other things that I found doing a little more research on the suicide is that we're now finding a secondary effect, and this is survivor suicide. So when a service member commits suicide, a lot of times if there is not someone there for that spouse, it's not uncommon for them to either attempt suicide, think of suicide, become chronically depressed. You're trying to figure it out, but
I imagine a lot of them have guilt for the simple reason they feel like they haven't done enough.
What didn't I see?
Husband. Yeah.
What didn't I, why mm-hmm. didn't I do this or do that? And there is a organization, a nonprofit called TAPS, and they do just that. They reach out to survivors. Everyone that is on their hotlines mm-hmm. has been through that. They're a peer mentor. They have lost, whether it's suicide, whether their loved one was killed in combat, whether it was an accident, plane crash, illness, they've lost their member. Mm-hmm. And so if you know of anyone that's going through that, go online and Google TAPS, T-A-P-S, and you'll bring up their site, and there's a lot, there's a wealth of information there for the survivors of these military members.
You sound like the perfect contact to get a hold of. If someone's out there thinking of a loved one or a friend that is going through some particular type of trauma, and but you're such a great source for everybody. And
thank you.
Know, I really commend you because, I mean, what really triggered you to start with to get involved in helping our GIs?
The catalyst for me, well, number one, I've been helping family members. I was a volunteer, became a master trainer for the Army Family Team Building back in 1992 when it first started. I was one of those pioneers in that program.
20 years ago.
It's hard to believe. really hard to believe. Yeah. So I was always involved. But as far as doing Operation Christmas Care and the cards for the wounded, and now, you know, starting, you know, a new reach for these silent sufferers, or a friend of mine, her cousin, he was a nephew of my science teacher. You know, I come from a small town, so everybody knows everybody. And Josh Blyle, he lost both of his legs in an IED in 2006. And three of his comrades in that explosion. And so she started a blog. She, you know, another gal I graduated with, you know, sent me an email and said, Leanne, you know, this is going on, and sent me the blog URL. So I went there, and immediately I wanted to do something. This was a hometown boy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I am down here in Tennessee, but this was hometown Indiana. And I contacted Walter Reed, where he had been sent. And that was during the anthrax scare. So they weren't taking anything that was not physically brought in by a family member. Mm-hmm. And it was in October. And I wanted to do something. I just needed to do something. So I thought, well, he's not the only one. And I contacted a friend of mine, a friend of the family, who was a military chaplain at Fort Sam Houston, where Brooks Army Medical Center is. That now is the it's the San Antonio Army Medical Center. I believe it's called SAMC instead of BAMC now. Mm-hmm. But he knew the lady, Judith Markels, who was in charge of this wounded warrior support that was just beginning to really, you know, come together. And gave me her contact. I called her. I told her what I wanted to do. And she said, Leanne, send me anything and everything you've got. And so I started with one box in my son's elementary school, and we're on our sixth year, and it has just grown and grown. And the amazing part to me, I think that what I didn't expect, I knew that these wounded warriors needed this morale boost, and that anybody could afford a card, or they could write a letter, or they could fold a piece of paper in half. Everybody can write a message. Excuse me. And so what I've found over the years is that Operation Christmas Care and Uncle Sam's Heroes serves two purposes. One, it serves the wounded in a unbelievable way. And I have a lot of people that want to know, well, I hear from that service member, and I tell them, don't expect to, but please know that you're sending ripples out that you cannot even fathom, because those cards get passed around, and you boost morale, then they boost somebody else's morale. It's just amazing. But what I also found was that the American people that have given me these cards and taken these cards to Thanksgiving dinner and had people fill one out and started in their school, in their, with their families, in their churches, just everywhere, they need to say thank you and want to say thank you in a very heartfelt way, and just need a way to do that. So,
you know,
that's,
it has
been
to be special for the kids to be able to write to the soldiers, because they are so innocent, and their minds are of a way that they really do appreciate these GIs and what they've gone through. They really do. And I can imagine laying there on a bed and receiving a card from a 8 or 9 year old and what they're saying. That has to be special.
Well, and the way that a lot of words are misspelled, you know.
Yeah.
But they always, on my website, UncleSamsHeroes.com. There, if you go to the link at the top of the page, that's Operation Christmas Care, there's a slideshow of these cards.
Oh.
And so if you want to see some of these just warm your heart cards from these kids, take a look.
You got to pull it up. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Leanne Newton.
The Outpost Armory is not just another gun store. Our staff has hands-on knowledge and experience with firearms, self-defense training, hunting, and competitive shooting. We cater to the new gun owner and the expert looking for that hard-to-find product. We carry items that the big chain stores don't and have bulk ammunition for the high-volume shooter. We defend the Second Amendment and help responsible citizens protect their families, rights, and liberties. Visit us in person or online at theoutpostarmory.com. The Outpost Armory, I-24 East at Exit 89 in Murfreesboro.
Tennessee Radio Network News. I'm Jim Williams. Former UT Chattanooga employee Karen Drake is suing the school, claiming race and age discrimination in her firing 2 years ago. Drake is African American and over 40. She alleges the school replaced her with a white woman half her age whom she had trained for her job. Drake also claims the school prevented her from finding work elsewhere on campus, in part because she'd spoken out about her daughter's hazing at a UTC sorority. Drake's calling for her job back, as well as wanting back pay and benefits, plus damages for emotional distress. State health officials say there is an end in sight to all those meningitis cases.
It's now been a full month since state health officials first announced a cluster of fungal meningitis cases among patients in Tennessee. Since then, 11 people in the state have died. Tennessee's chief medical officer, Dr. David Reagan, says his team has now developed a risk model that shows the worst will be behind us November 8th.
TRN's Tanya J. Powers. Heading toward the election that's only 4 days away now, Thursday was the last day for early voting. Traditionally, that's the busiest of the 2 weeks. Before Election Day, 1,300,000 Tennesseans plus turned out for early voting. 106,000 voted on Wednesday alone. And in a message, Congressman Scott Desjarlais has thanked Governor Haslam for withholding judgment after details recently came out about Desjarlais urging his mistress to seek an abortion. Haslam says he didn't want to talk about the subject until he speaks with Desjarlais. Since the tape of Desjarlais calling for an abortion came out, another mistress of Desjarlais has come forward.
Next, it's the Better Business Focus with Terry Page.
Have low interest rates and ongoing market volatility jeopardized your financial peace of mind? There is a solution. Work with a professional that believes in safe money alternatives. For 24 years, Doug King of King Financial Management specialized in strategies that provide asset protection, moderate growth, and guaranteed retirement income. Call Doug today at 877-890-5489 so that tomorrow your money will be working smarter for you. Online at kingfinancialmanagement.com. That's kingfinancialmanagement.com.
Have you ever considered the role that companies play in the overall vitality of a community? Excellent companies realize they have a responsibility to give back to the communities where they do business. It could be serving on local boards or even making financial support available to charitable organizations. As you do business, think about the role your business plays in making a difference. This is Terry Page with your local Better Business Bureau.
Stuck in a state of falling behind, struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? I'm State Farm Agent Andy Wama. Let me help you simplify and get you to a better state. By handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time for everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies could mean earning discounts worth up to 40%.
Get to a better state, State Farm.
I'm State Farm Agent Andy Wama. 890-0850.
If you want to get some barbecue, I tell you how to do it. Head for the Slick Pig and you're into it. Just walk through the door at 1920 East Main and your nose will send a message right to your brain.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the Catfish Special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock, $9.99 plus tax for all-you-can-eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw at Slick Pig Barbecue.
Weather-eye.
For the forecast area today, plenty of sunshine, highs in the mid-60s. We'll have a north-northwest wind, 5 to 10. Partly cloudy skies tonight, 41 degrees for your low. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
currently 57.
Our good neighbor of the day today is Cheryl Sexton. She receives flowers, compliments of Ryan's Flowers and Gifts for being nominated our good neighbor of the day. And Adrian Nelson, happy birthday, receiving the birthday cake from Junior's Foodland.
That update brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Introducing Progressive's exclusive Snapshot Discount, a program that tracks your good driving and rewards it with discounts. Find out more at progressive.com. Again, that's progressive.com.
The Truman Show now continues on the voice of Rutherford County, WGNS, AM and FM.
And welcome back with Leanne Newton, and we want to let you know that this part of her show is brought to you by At Home Care. When you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. At Home Care is different than any others you see in the local marketplace because they're owned and operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means that Home Care is hands-on involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. At Home Care provides top-quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee. Whether you need a 24/7 companion, ongoing assistance with transportation to church or doctor's appointments, laundry, housekeeping, personal care, or more, At Home Care is here for you. At Home Care, 713-4639, online at homecaretennessee.com. That's 713-4639, At Home Care, your number one source for the best care in Middle Tennessee. You know, you've reached out and opened up so many avenues for our soldiers. I guess you're kind of like our homeland general. You're making sure that the our GIs are taken care of no matter what the situation is. And they're making some changes. The military is, and we were talking about this before we went on the show, about a certain program. It's more like a peer program where they're actually dealing with the present GI's problems as they come back, and they're able to relate to them in a way that's actually more positive than just kind of dealing with it as a medical thing.
That's true. For several years now, we have had peer mentors for amputee victims for physical wounds. Mm-hmm. We've been way behind on the cue ball as far as the PTSD and the traumatic brain disorders or injuries. I'm sorry. So there, the government has partnered with Intrepid Fallen Heroes, and they are a nonprofit. And they're going to be, the goal is to build a mental health facility on the large bases. I think there's five at this point slated. Mm-hmm. One of them, I think the first one opened very, very recently, maybe as recently as like 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. And what this has allowed to happen is there's no red tape. So there's not the, it's not government funded. It's a nonprofit, so they don't have to go through all of the government red tape to get open, get things moving, because things need to move quickly. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to, you know, deal with this suicide crisis. So they offer services for our active duty service members and their family members, and they can come in, and they have a variety of care, so they're not doing just standard psychological care. There's also some non-traditional care that is available for them to try. And from some of the things I was listening to and some of the, I guess you'd call them testimonials of soldiers that have already gone through this and started in this one Intrepid Fallen Heroes facility, that as soon as they walked in the door, it was so different, and that they felt at ease, and then they started to talk. Mm-hmm. And we had talked about this just a little bit earlier, that as soon as they started to talk, they started to feel better.
It's amazing.
Yes, it's amazing. And people, you know, don't stay in a state of suicidal thoughts. Mm-hmm. They peak, you know, there's those moments, and you have to get them through that peak so that they don't take that final action. Mm-hmm. And the best way to do this is to get them to talk and talk about what, you know, where, what's going on with them. And even way back when, 20 years ago or 15 years ago, when I was doing some master training, I would get, periodically, they would have me train the enlisted side, as well as some of the officers would have to come to some of my trainings, which was always a interesting training session for me. But I would ask them, the officers, if they had blueprinted their soldiers. And by blueprint, I had to say the word blueprint because they understood what I was talking about. Right. You know what I'm talking right. about. So what that is it's basically, do you know what's going on with your soldiers mm-hmm. outside of work? Because they're your responsibility around the clock. So do you know if they're having marriage issues? Do mm-hmm. you know if they have a sick child? Do you know if there's been a death in the family? And if you don't, then you're running the risk. Even then, we were dealing with suicide rates in the recruiting command, and they were higher than anywhere else in the service. And so that is part of, I think, what Intrepid Fallen Heroes is going to do. It helps the soldier have a place to come, a place to talk, but hopefully the command is also going to be sending, you know, instead of, I think if there's a place available on a post and they can just, you know, they see something going on during the day, or a wife calls in, a spouse calls in, says, I'm concerned, they can just send them over and they won't receive any dings on their military record. You know, so I think it's something new. It's going to be interesting to see how well it works. but we have to do something. We have to keep moving forward.
You were saying something earlier about them becoming open and talking to people that have been through what they have, their peers. And you think back, a GI normally, he's in a macho type situation. Mm-hmm. They don't like to talk about things that are bothering them, that they may be considered a failure and not
weak.
Mm-hmm. Weak. And even after the wars are over with, they still don't want to talk. They still keep everything bottled up on them. And I've seen it so many times that the way men deal with those things is they make a joke out of it. Mm-hmm. And they laugh at things that people say, why in the world would they be laughing yeah. at something? But that's the way that you cope with mm-hmm. things. And some people have it in them, and some it's very difficult for them. And I look at a warrior's attitude as somebody that can overcome all of that. It's just built in them. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is the same,
right?
Unfortunately. And I was thinking about, these are current GIs that are going through these programs. They have some symptoms of post-traumatic. And I was wondering, during that process, you and I talked about some of them will go back into the war zones mm-hmm. and receive more stress while they're over there. Are there any options for a GI now, or will there be any mm-hmm. options for that particular GI to be able to have an assistance to go into something else other than being into the war zone where they're already have been injured or wounded emotionally and mentally?
I would love to say yes, but the reality is, you know, you train your soldiers into their individual MOS mm-hmm. and they're qualified to do certain things.
Right.
And so many of those are critical and understaffed. And so when you have soldiers, my son-in-law is one of those. You know, he is in an MOS where there just aren't enough. And so he's on a constant, he's just doing so much more. Now, when they reach their reenlistment time, you know, then they can either, they have some options, you know, they can get out, they can then talk to their retention NCO about maybe, you know, retraining. Mm-hmm. But until that time, unless they're medically deemed unqualified to go back over, no.
And that's very difficult to know.
And they oftentimes won't do that, for they fear, you know, it's going to affect their rate of promotion mm-hmm. and, you know, how they're viewed among their peers. And so, yeah, we have a real mess, and it's going to take a lot of people, and it's going to take all of us to help fix it.
You know, we used to have the draft. 2 years, mm-hmm. you would be drafted in, and a lot of times you would end up going into the war zone. But it wasn't for an extended long period mm-hmm. of time, 11 months or something right. like that. If I remember right, I think that's what the time was. And then you would come back into another duty. Mm-hmm. Since we've got into this situation, it just seems to be a constant thing to be going into war zones. And what people don't realize, when you think of a soldier going into harm's way and they're fighting the enemy constantly, but they're also public relations mm-hmm. people. We put them in a situation that I considered almost impossible because they're dealing with civilians who they don't know mm-hmm. if those civilians are the enemy or the friends. You're dealing with kids. All those things that they're having to accomplish, but yet still fight the enemy within their scope of responsibility. And I think that that's a lot of the stress that we put on these GIs when they go over there, because they're supposed to be super people. Mm-hmm. We expect them to be able to succeed in areas that are impossible, because we do not, I mean, we're in foreign country. We're there supposedly to assist each and every one of the people that we're protecting mm-hmm. in that area. But a lot of the times that we're protecting those people, they're actually the enemy. So, I mean, how do you fathom that in your own mind?
I can't, especially with the new surge of, murders mm-hmm. within our own walls over there, you know, where we have trained people and then, they've gained our trust and, the soldiers go to dinner and then they're, basically executed at dinner. Mm-hmm. Or, we've had, back to my son-in-law again, a dear friend of theirs, Major Gray.
Ooh, that's a big mess up from a sergeant to a major.
I'm sorry. we won't go there. But so Major Gray went over, and he left behind a wife and three children. And some of you are going to remember this one because it made national news because they were higher officials, mm-hmm. and they were approached by two suicide bombers mm-hmm. that detonated when they got close to their Jeep, and he was killed.
Right.
So I don't know, our soldiers are also told, they're given rules of engagement. Like mm-hmm. they can fire in some areas and in other areas they can't. They are not, they're trained mm-hmm. to do the right thing, but they're not then allowed to do what they were trained to do a lot of times.
Right.
And how anyone, the best soldier, can make sense of now they feel like they have to watch their back inside the base, outside the base, and then deal with the community and still be human. There are kids that they're dealing with, some children. And then I do believe that social media, this is the first war we've had where social media is what it is so prevalent and everything's real time.
Vietnam, too. Vietnam.
Yeah.
That's where it started.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a political process mm-hmm. rather than a war. And as most people know, I think it goes back to the old Chinese dynasties. You don't win a war that way. Mm-hmm. You win a war by winning a war.
Right.
You don't go in and do all the political things that everybody wants you to be. They want you to react like you're in a normal setting
right.
with an M16 in your hand.
Right.
I mean, it totally blows my mind. This country is so worried about offending somebody mm-hmm. or hurting somebody, an innocent civilian. Mm-hmm. I just wonder in World War II how many innocent civilians got it and we just never knew
it.
But would we have won that war worrying about what was going on in each particular section that we went into? I'm just running my mouth.
But I
feel very strongly that way. We put our soldiers mm-hmm. in impossible situations.
We do.
You're either going to go over and win the darn thing or you're not.
And they have to know what that black and white line is.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't. So many of them, that's their biggest complaint. You know, you've taught me what to do, let me go do it. And you have good leadership. There's, you know, you have trained your leaders to lead these younger men. And mm-hmm.
People here, that we have soldiers over there, they need to understand that they're not under the same rules that we are over here in the United States. They don't understand it. I never will forget in Vietnam when they had the assassinations that ended up in the newspapers mm-hmm. and all the cops country. And people were saying, oh, it's awful. Mm-hmm.
No,
that's wartime, folks.
It is. And that is why, you know, we don't want to go to war. I mean, war's ugly. War mm-hmm. is always, should always be the very, very last resort. Innocent people do get killed on all sides. And, you know, I even look at, like I said, these survivors of, you know, the surviving spouse. You know, to me, that's a victim. If she commits suicide, then mm-hmm. she's also a wartime victim.
A lot of the wives were wartime victims. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think that we've paid enough attention to them over the years on all the things that they have gone through and continue to mm-hmm. go through. And the new project that they've got where they're dealing, the peers are dealing with the GIs, is that something that may possibly extend out over the years? And I'm sure that I don't know if the VA hospitals would be a point of interest for them to be able to come in. And I don't even know, maybe they're already mm-hmm. doing something like that.
Yeah, I don't have the answer to that. I'm not sure what the involvement's going to be with the VA hospitals. I think this is going to be a trial, mm-hmm. you know, getting it set up on the bases and see how well it works. And if it works, then I do anticipate some type of expansion of either that program or an adaptation mm-hmm. of that program. You know, the thing with the wives, wives at least have the opportunity to reach out to others mm-hmm. and women will talk. Not all of us do, but some, you know, we're more prone to be able to share with someone who's going through the same thing. And guys are sharing, you know, the soldiers are sharing with each other what they're going through. Mm-hmm. But it's not, they're not talking, like you said, they're make a joke about it, or they're going to get a really morbid sense of humor. You know, there's just different ways they deal with it that
I
works.
Take the morbid sense of humor.
Yeah, yeah, that works over there, mm-hmm. you know, but when they get back with their families, they can't have that morbid sense of humor with their wives. A lot of times they're not, you know, so there's definitely a change that needs to occur in how our soldiers are allowed to communicate and how they're, you can't say trained, but I guess allowed is the best word because so many of them feel like they're not allowed to talk. They're not allowed to talk about it.
Now you're trying to fire up the people around here to make sure that they're reaching out to our
right.
GIs.
Yes. Operation Christmas Care. I am working diligently to get drop boxes around mm-hmm. town. Last year, and I'm sure that these folks are all going to do it again this year, Reeves Sane.
Great place.
Yeah, they had a box last year. The Dodge dealership, mm-hmm. Beeman Dodge, had a drop box. Line Ball Library had a drop box. We'll have several, hopefully at MTSU again this year. And then if you go to my website, again, it's UncleSamCHeroes.com. There's mm-hmm. contact information for me. If you're local, I'll be happy to do a pickup, or you can call me. But there will be more locations, and they will get on the website. I'm in the process now of getting those locations. And if there are businesses listening or anybody that would like to have a drop box in your place of business for cards, please just let me know, and I'll be happy to get one of those to you.
Please get a hold of Lee Ann, because this is something very special. And then, especially when we get into the holiday season, memories start coming back to people. They start thinking about both the good and the bad times. And unfortunately, Christmas, in a lot of ways, can be a time where people become a little bit down and in the dumps, and then they start thinking about the bad things instead of the purpose for Christmas, which is just the opposite, of course. But when they're writing their notes to the GIs, what specifically should they address?
The mission of Operation Christmas Care is to give a morale-boosting message to a wounded warrior. Mm-hmm. If, say, for instance, there is a picture that came through Stars and Stripes back in 2011, and it was of a GI on a helicopter who had been in an IED explosion. He was 19 years old, and on his side, they had his shirt off, on his side it said, "For those I love, I will sacrifice." He had that tattooed on his side.
Oh, my.
And he lost both arms and one arm and both legs. So I tell people, this man is going to, it took him 9 days to get from that explosion to the U.S. So he was, you know, he'd get stabilized at the field hospital in Afghanistan, be sent to Landstuhl in Germany. And then when they had him where he could make the flight back, he was then brought back to BAMSI at Fort Sam Houston, where most of our cards go. Now, he's going to wake up, and the last thing he's going to remember is being out on patrol. And he's going to wake up, and he's going to be missing three of his limbs.
Mm.
What would you say to that soldier?
I don't know what you could say. You could say all the things that you come through your mind, thank you, and all that, but
it does work. Even those simple things, you know, that they're not forgotten. That his sacrifice is going to be with him forever. In every moment of every day, all they want to know is that they didn't do it in vain.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I tell people. What, you know, just picture that soldier, and what would you want to tell him when he is, you know, feeling hopeless, or when he is wondering how's he going to live? How's he, you know, what's his new normal going to be, and how can he get through that? And did I do it for nothing? Does anybody even know what I gave? You know?
You know, that's what's so cruel about the media here sometimes. I think they spurred a lot of the anti-American feelings that were going on during the Vietnam War, and you had a lot of the injured veterans coming back, and they were booed, jeered at, and it still bothers me to this day when I think about that how could people be so thoughtless and cruel in a situation where you have people that have given so much. To this day, I don't understand. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Leanne Newton.
It's time. Blue Raiders.
Support your Blue Raiders as they compete for back-to-back Sun Belt Conference titles. Men's and women's basketball combo season tickets are on sale now and start as low as $199. Don't miss a single three-pointer. Score a slam dunk with season tickets today.
Show your true blue. Support your Blue Raiders. Tickets available at GoBlueRaiders.com or call 1-888-YES-MTSU. Go Blue Raiders.
Enjoy delicious homemade soup on a cold day and help Habitat for Humanity. Yes, Habitat for Humanity's Cooking to Build will be Saturday, November 3rd. It's on the Murfreesboro Civic Plaza. You get to keep the hand-painted bowl and enjoy all the soup, stew, and chili. I'll be broadcasting there, too. Habitat for Humanity's Cooking to Build, Saturday, November the 3rd, 11 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. on the Murfreesboro Civic Plaza in front of the library.
Southern Community Bank, unlike all the rest. Beverly Barker, branch manager.
Southern Community Bank is a strong, independent community partner with a simple philosophy. Keep banking hassle-free for people who just want to be treated well.
We're unlike all the rest. Our services are intuitive. Our team is friendly. Our approach is refreshing, and our service is clearly unique.
We're located at 1950 Old Fort Parkway, next to the Doubletree Hotel.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Here's Frank LePetri, pastor of Holly Grove Baptist Church. I would like to extend a special invitation for you to come worship with us. We're an old-fashioned, fundamental, Bible-believing Southern Baptist church, teaching Christ Jesus is the Lord and a sinful man's only hope.
Worship with the family of Holly Grove Baptist Church. Sunday school begins at 9:45 a.m. and worship services at 11. Join us Wednesday nights at 7.
We have a great youth program and Sunday school classes for all age groups.
Holly Grove Baptist Church is on Holly Grove Road. Turn right off Highway 231 past Walter Hill School onto Holly Grove Road.
We're about 3 miles on the left. I promise you, you will find a warm welcome inside. Find out more at hollygrovebaptist.com or by calling 896-5282.
Holly Grove Baptist Church, reaching out to offer hope.
Don't miss our services here on WGNS each Sunday at noon. I'm Frank LePetri, and may the Lord bless you.
To bag the deer of a lifetime, you have to be prepared. That's why you need to shop Murfreesboro Outdoors.
This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors. We get camouflage clothes, shotguns, shells.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
The local conversation continues now on The Truman Show. Once again, here's Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Leanne Newton, and we want to let you know that the last part of her show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. And when you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes is a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything. From the simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's on the Ridgely Road. So, people, should they get their pens ready and start writing?
Yes, they should. And start, you know, working on your cards or putting it in newsletters, put it out on email. I really want to grow it. We've sent 60,000 cards to date in 5 years.
Wow.
My goal this year?
Send over 100 from here.
200,000 plus.
Wow.
Is my goal this year.
I think you can do it.
I know I can do it.
If I had a business here in Rutherford County, I would make a point of advertising that you're going to do that for the GIs. I mean, so everybody needs to step up to the plate. All these people have been out there doing our dirty work and coming back not the way that they left.
No.
They need to be lifted up. And if I was a business owner, I would be calling you first thing and say, what can I do to help you in your program to make sure that these GIs have some type of acknowledgement that we appreciate everything that they've done. And it's when you were talking about the GI that has come, that has lost some limbs, I can still picture that in my mind. I mean, they're coming back. Nothing's going to be the same for them anymore. They're not going to be able to live normal lives. But just to think that they gave the, in my opinion, the ultimate sacrifice, even at that level, for people who really appreciate what they've done for
them. That's all they want. You know, the greatest tragedy will be if they're forgotten. And I don't care if that's a veteran, if that's a new GI coming back, or if it's your grandfather, or like my dad, he's now 86 years old, World War II vet. They just don't want to be forgotten, and those days stand out in vivid relief in their mind forever. So it doesn't cost you anything. I don't need an envelope. I don't want envelopes because a lot of them can't open them. Just write a nice note in a card and drop it off. Send it to me. Let me know you want to put up a box.
I think it's important even now. We still reach all the way back to the war between the states here. Mm-hmm. And we remember them, and we have all the books and have all the things that we go out to. And all through the wars, we've done that. We've got the names of our heroes that are up. But why not be able to say something to them while they're here?
Exactly.
And that needs to be done.
It does. It does. And we're going to keep paying it forward. I don't see... I'll probably do this till my dying day. We're just going to keep
good
paying
for
it forward.
Good for you. You're a special lady.
Thank you.
Now,
thanks for having me.
How are they going to get a hold of you?
Okay. On my website, if you don't have the web, I'll give you a telephone number here in a minute. But on my website at www.UncleSamsHeroes.com. There is all the information, how to get a hold of me, and I will be updating that as I get new Dropbox locations. But if you do not have, you don't get on the internet, just give me a call, 615-804-5393. That's 804-5393. And leave me a message. If I don't pick up, I will get back with you.
And if you're not able to get that, you'll leave your number here at the radio station. And people can call here. And you might be thinking before you call Leanne of some of the things that you might be able to add and get involved with before you call her. Because I know that a lot of you are wives of GIs that have fought in two or three of the wars and family members. But everybody needs to do it. I mean, we're all recipients. I mean, our freedom is only because of the people that's been out there representing us. So let's do something for them.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's do something for them.
Yes. And we'll see you guys 9:00 on Monday morning.